It is good to see everybody today, and we just want to praise God for the privilege of moving into studying the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the title of today's message is The Resurrection Power of God. We're going to begin in Colossians chapter 1, and if you've been listening with us and if you've been studying, we have been studying the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. So today we move into the power of the resurrection, and I just want to ask you a simple question. Do you believe in the power of the resurrection of God? Now you may say, yeah, Brother Leo, I know one day my body's going to come out of the grave, and I'm going to be raised just like Jesus was. But that's not the question, and he asked Martha at the grave of Lazarus, and her brother was dead. And he said unto her, he said, Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And she said, certainly I believe that, Lord. And on the last day, my brother Lazarus will come out of the grave. And the Lord rebuked her. He said, Martha, that's not what I'm asking you. Do you believe in my resurrection power today? Because in a few moments, he walked over there and raised him out of the grave today. So there are things in your life that may be dead. There are things in your life that may be dying and decaying. There may be things in the lives of your loved ones who may be dying and decaying. But I want you to understand, you may be on the threshold of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ working in these situations. And we're going to first define what that power was and is. And then we're going to see how God doesn't keep it for himself. He has imparted it to us. So let's go to the scripture. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says this. We are giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So right here, Paul's thanking the Lord for the cross, for the power of the blood to cleanse us and to forgive us of sin. And then we move over to verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The first one resurrected bodily from the grave to live forever, not like Lazarus, because he died again, that in all things he has the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, again, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And that's what we studied last week. The reconciliation ministry. So, is the cross a gateway to join a church? Is the cross a gateway to join a religion? Is the cross a gateway to be a good person? No. The cross of Jesus Christ is the gate by which the righteousness enter. Psalm 118, to have a reconciled personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So the cross brings us into relationship. Reconciliation in the Greek means to establish a personal one-on-one relationship. So we studied it last week, but we're looking at the firstborn from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask your blessing upon your word and in this message. Father, I ask, since we're recording differently, that you keep me anchored right over this thing. And Lord Jesus, that you allow this message to go out and minister to hearts. Father, let me decrease so you increase. And Lord, as you always whisper in my ear, glorify me. Just get out there and glorify me. That's very humbling, Lord, because it's a great privilege to be able to stand here and just glorify you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, go with me to Colossians chapter 2. We're in 1. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, and let's look at the scripture. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, we are beginning to look and we're going to try to define the resurrection power of God. What was it when he came out of that grave? And it's very difficult to define. It's very difficult for us to comprehend, but we're going to share what the Bible says. In verse 12, it says, "We have been buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." So I'm going to stop right there, and I want you to understand something. You are united with God, and we're going to make this point again because other scriptures do it. You're united with God in his crucifixion, and you're in union with God in the power of his resurrection. You say, "Well, Brother Leo, how am I united with God in his crucifixion?" Because he carried your sins on that cross. He died your death on that cross. He faced your judgment on that cross. He experienced your wrath of God on that cross. Now, we preach that all the time, and people grasp that. But what I want you to understand today is it didn't stop there. Look at what it says. You are also risen with him through the faith of, and that word actually means the operation, the energy, and the power of God who hath raised him from the dead. So the same operation, energy, and power of God that raised him from the dead is alive in you. I'm going to show you that in a moment. Yeah. And it needs to be part of your daily life. You're saying, "Brother Leo, boy, I got a mountain this time. I'm not sure I can get through it." I'm going to tell you right now, I know you can't get through it. But with the power of Jesus Christ, you'll get through it. Amen. And with the power of Jesus Christ, it may be changed. And with the power of Jesus Christ, you can have faith and confidence that he is not going to leave you nor forsake you. And so you got to claim that. You know, all of Christianity understands what Christ did for him on the cross. But we got to understand what Christ did for us when he rose from the dead. And it just don't kick in on the day I die or on the day of the rapture. You know, it's here now. And you're going to see that plainly in the scriptures. So look at what he goes on to say in verse 14. "That when he was on the cross, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took them all out of the way, nailing them to his cross." Whatever was separating me from God, my sin, wouldn't allow me to get into a relationship with Jesus. He took it out of the way. But notice verse 15. "He spoiled principalities and powers when he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Now, he doesn't tell you what he did there that made the open display. Now, we know, we're going to go to it in a moment. But the fact that he died on the cross for our sins didn't show us the victory. You say, "Well, Brother Leo, what showed us the victory?" Well, let me explain this verse to you. This verse means, in verse 15 where it says he spoiled principalities and powers, that means he stripped away those principalities and powers. He stripped the power away from the devil and all his demons and death and hell. He stripped that power away from him. Okay, that's the first thing it means. And then it says he made an open show triumphing over them. That's the same sentence that was used about Roman generals that would come back from a battle or from a war. And they would have a parade for them, and it was a very public display. And they would go through Rome with all the spoils of victory. And it was public, and everybody saw it. It was an open display of their victory. So you say, "Well, Brother Leo, I'm getting it now." When he died on the cross, we didn't know he had victory. You know when we knew he had victory over all that stuff? When he came out of that grave publicly. So he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ was an open public display that he had defeated all the demons of hell, the devil himself, death, the grave, and sin for you and I. So grab hold of that. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to try to define for you this power, but I want you to know what the resurrection means, what the resurrection showed us. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul is introducing himself. He's talking about in verse 3, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came according to the flesh. And then in verse 4, he says this, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the dead openly and publicly declared the all-conquering, all-victorious, all-encompassing resurrection power of God, that it was on Jesus. Now, that's wonderful. And that's part of the message today. Let me show you, let me make you a few points, and then I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 2. But notice what it says there. He declared him to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The Hebrew writer calls death the last great enemy. So I want you to understand something. There is no greater power than coming from death to life. All right, just understand that. That's the greatest power known to humanity. God can heal a leper, that was great. God can walk on water, that was great. God can heal a blind man, that was great. But when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, that was the greatest, that was the thing. All right? Understand, there is no greater power than coming from death to life. No greater power. Secondly, not only did Jesus Christ raise from his death, he rose from the weight of my death and the weight of all humanity. All right, now I want you to understand this before I take you to Acts chapter 2. When Jesus was in that grave, he took upon him the sins of all humanity, even the people that are never going to accept him as Lord and Savior. He took their sins on him. So everybody that's ever been born, ever committed a sin, Jesus Christ took all those sins upon his body. The sins I've committed up to this point and the sins I will commit in the future, he took upon his body of all humanity. Now, there are times I experience satanic oppression. I think everybody does. Because there's an innumerable number of angels got kicked out of heaven. We don't know how many. And maybe sometimes two or three of these demons are sent to oppress you. But I want you to understand, when Jesus Christ was in that grave, every demon of hell, including the devil, and I can prove it to you because it said he spoiled all the principalities and powers of evil. So they were all garrisoned or mustered, to use a military term, against him. And when he was in that tomb, not only was all the weight of every sin ever committed, and the judgment of that weight, and the death of that, or the weight of that death, but all the strength and energy of all these fallen angels and the devil himself were attempting to hold him in that tomb. Now look what Peter says about that in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and look what Peter says about that. He didn't just die his death. He just didn't deal with one demon. He just didn't deal with one evil power or principality. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter is preaching, and he says this, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. But God has raised him up from the dead. He loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that the pains and dominions and powers of death could hold him to it." So I want you to imagine that all those sins that are ours, all that death that is ours, all that judgment that is ours, I want you to imagine all those demons, all those devils, and Satan himself as chains, spiritual dark chains that are just all over the body and the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the darkness of that tomb, on that first resurrection Sunday morning, our Lord and Savior rose from the dead and he burst loose all those chains in victory and in power. Now, think about it, meditate on it, pray about it this week, but I want you to understand that's the best way I can define for you scripturally, and there are more, and you can find them, the resurrection power of God. Peter says in another place, you who crucified the Lord, whom God raised up by the power of the resurrection. So I want you to understand how infinite, how all-conquering, how all-encompassing, how omnipotent this power is. So that's why the Lord can say, is there anything too hard for God? That's why the Lord can say, with God nothing shall be impossible. That's why the Lord can say, because everything we face in this horizontal world, none of it comes close to the power that was garrisoned against our Lord that day in that grave. Now, you say, Brother Leo, that's wonderful. Well, I'm going to tell you something that's more wonderful. So go with me to Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, the Lord is risen from the dead. And he is speaking to his disciples. And he is giving them some orders of direction and what they're to do. And in verse 46, he's telling them what to preach about himself. And he says that I suffered on that cross. And I rose from the dead the third day. And I want you to preach repentance and remission of sins. Among all nations, start out in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things because you see me standing here. And earlier in the chapter, I just ate some fish and a piece of honey with you. You have touched my body. You are witnesses of my bodily resurrection. But before you start that, in verse 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And I want you to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with this resurrection power from on high. Now, Brother Leo, how do you know it's the resurrection power? I'll show you in Romans in a moment. But what I want you to understand is this. Following the resurrection, following the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is telling them they're going to be endued with this same power. So this great, all-conquering resurrection, supernatural power of God, Christ does not want to just keep for himself. He wants to impart it to his believers. That's what he's saying. Wait until you be endued with this power from on high. So go with me to Romans chapter 8. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to pause. We're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to grasp this. Because most folks, if you're like me, I'll tell folks, you know, the Holy Spirit indwells me. And that's true. But I want to show you how the Holy Spirit's named in Romans chapter 8. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled me. Well, I'm going to give you four words here in a moment. Those words are in part. Indwell, empower, and experience. That's what we're going to grab hold of. But notice what the scripture says. Verse 15, for you have not received, Romans 8, 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. So when you get saved, that happens, right? You receive the Holy Spirit. And you walk into a building or you walk in somewhere and you feel alienated from God and you're not sure you're saved and you're not a child of God, but you walk out of there and you say, hey man, I'm a child of God. And you got that peace and you've been born into the family. You've been born again. And that's the Holy Spirit. But notice how he is described in verse 10 and 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. We're just going to stop right there. What is he calling the Holy Spirit? He's calling the Holy Spirit the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. So, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's the resurrection power of God. Would you just say that with me? The Holy Spirit is the resurrection power of God. Would you say that again? The Holy Spirit is the resurrection power of God. You say, okay, Brother Leo. Well, don't say, okay, Brother Leo. I just told you how powerful that is. You got a power in you that I can't even define for you. 34 years of teaching, and I can't define it for you. But you can begin to grasp that, hey, this thing's not going to beat me. This thing's not going to stop me. This thing's not going to knock me out eternally. Whatever it is, whatever I face, whatever I've got to go through, the very power of God that rose from the dead with all those sins, all that death, all those demons, that power is in me. And if you're dealing with a situation or a diagnosis, or if you're dealing with men who think they have some kind of authority, I want you to understand something, my dear friend. The power of Jesus that is in you is greater than any kind of earthly power there is. And you will be okay if you live by faith and obedience and righteousness in every step of the way. Just keep saying what He whispers in my ear. Glorify me. Glorify me. God, whatever I got to go through, I'm going to go through it. Your power is going to strengthen me. You're going to get me through it. And I'm going to glorify you. Amen. Just like Friday. You know, we spent time with Miss Hampton's son. The week before, spent time talking with Ricky Kelly for the death of his mother. You know, it's been an aggravation since March 17th when lightning hit our house. And so much, this is the absolute worst time. You know, I got to get on the airplane, fly out of here and take care of another big event. But the bottom line is, when they left, when he left, and he was with our buddy Greg Floyd, and we had a good time with Greg Friday. But when he left, Patty said, "You know why God let this lightning hit our house? So that we could pray with all these people." Amen. And I said, "Exactly right, because I wouldn't have been talking to those people. I wouldn't have been calling on them." Called Greg the other day, and I said, "Greg, you're not going to believe this, but lightning blew up my driveway." And everybody comes out. They take pictures of it. They say, "I've never seen anything like this in my life." So I hadn't either. But 30 more feet, it would have hit us right in the bedroom. It was the most powerful impact you can imagine. But God is good, and He stopped the fire in the basement. And you know, you can't complain. And you know, every now and then I'll slip into that. And then I've got to say, "Man, Lord, I've got too many blessings. I mean, it could have been 10,000 million times worse." And you got to keep telling yourself that. Goodness gracious. Amen. We live in a nation of pity parties. Amen. And you know, we just can't get drugged down in that culture. And it's the focus on the resurrection power of Jesus that reminds this great all-conquering power. He wants to give it to us. And the New Testament church understood this. You know, Paul, James, John, all these guys, they wrote about it and they experienced it. And that's what we've got to understand. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll go to Philippians 3 and then Ephesians 1. But go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says this, I desire to be found in Him. So what does it mean? We studied this last week. What does it mean to be in Christ? He's talking about being in a relationship with Jesus, being indwelt by the Spirit. I desire to be in Him. And earlier in the chapter, Paul's talking about in verse 3 about being in the circumcision, being in the Jewish religion. You know, having confidence in the flesh. In verse 5, circumcised, of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I taught all this stuff. I was the big dog in my religion. And now he's saying, I throw all that away for one thing, a relationship, personal and intimate with Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Don't let anybody tell you you're not as good as they are because you may not be as religious as they are. You want to be relationship with the Lord. But notice what he says, found in my relationship with him, not having mine own righteousness, which is works of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he says this, that I may know him, epignosis, that I may have a personal, intimate relationship with him as a husband has with a wife on an emotional and spiritual level, my closest friend and ally, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know the power of his resurrection. Anything you pray in God's will, he'll do. John tells us that. Jesus said it. And I want you to understand, you got to start praying this. Lord, I need the power of your resurrection to work in this area of my life. Lord, I need the power of your resurrection to work in this situation in my life. I think that's going to be the great tragedy of the present day church. I've been studying the huge thing about the gnashing of teeth in the kingdom of God. That's not lost people. That's Christians that never lived their life out in Christianity. You know, in the power of the Spirit. You know, a great majority of people that were born again that will have zero rewards in heaven because they never lived by faith. They love the world too much. They love self too much. They got saved. But they remained about a six-month-old baby their entire life. You say, Bro Leo, that's me. Well, hey, you can correct it. It's never too late. You can start getting serious about getting along with God. You can start getting serious about making him your priority. You can start getting serious about confessing, okay, God, these are my plans. You tag along and bless them. Because that ain't it. And I'm not going to be up there and you come to me and say, you never told me this. I'm going to say, I told you every Sunday. That we cannot live as the world and expect to be blessed by God. He said, if any man's going to come after me, you take up your cross, you follow me. Well, Brother Leo, I don't want to give this up or whatever. My friend, anything, it's what Paul says here, anything you give up, once you allow God to give him what he's got planned for you. I mean, I've confessed to God many years. I tried to make my son a pitcher, and he was great, and God blessed him. And I tried to make my son a basketball player, and he was great, and God blessed him. But my son loved the guitar. I never found that out till he got to college, and his roommate was a guitar player, the point guard, and they learned how to play guitar. And he told me, he said, you know, Dad, I get so much peace, and it's so therapeutic, and you know, it's just, you know, my 6'6" son that I had planned from the day he was born what his route in life was going to be, I may have totally screwed him up, and any situations he fell into were probably my fault. Or I take part in. That's how we live it, man. And so I pray now, you know, God, whatever you want to do with his life, do with his life. But I didn't pray that when he was 5. I didn't pray it at 10. I didn't pray it at 18. I prayed, fill it up, man. Amen. You know, God, give him the strength to hang 30 on those people tonight. And that's just not the way it works. So God had to use a tremendous crisis situation to change my life. And now I praise God for it. Did I think I was going to live through it? No. Did I think any of us were going to live through it? No. But now I praise God. Because I was hard-headed. Because I thought I knew. Because these are our plans. Because I'm a good moral person. Well, that's not life. From the perspective of God. And so this is what he says to him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want you to write this down. Impart, indwell, empower, and experience. That's God's plan for you. I don't know what your plan is for you, but God desires to impart the Holy Spirit to you at salvation. That happens. You know it. If he's done it for you, amen. After he imparts them to you, he indwells you at salvation. If that's happened, praise God, amen. Following that, he wants that Holy Spirit to empower you. Well, what does the Holy Spirit empower you with? Number one, he empowers you with God's wisdom. And I'm not taking you to all those verses today, but that's what he does. Number two, he empowers you with God's strength to make it through things. I'm talking about physical, mental, and emotional strength. But if you've got the wisdom of God and you've got the physical, mental, and emotional strength, you will get through heart transplants, disasters, kidneys, whatever it is you're facing, court systems, you will get through and you'll come out with a changed perspective and say, Lord, I got to glorify you. Amen. Impart, indwell, empower, and experience. Two I's and two E's. We never get to the E's. Folks never get to the E's. You just put a slash mark. He's imparting him to me. He indwells me. But I've not got to the empowering and the experiencing. Why? Because he cannot empower you to carry out your plans. He cannot empower you to carry out self. He can only empower you to carry out obedience, seeking the will of God for your life. And this goes back to the commitment of the cross. He died for you, and Paul says, so I reckon, I add this thing up as an accountant, he died for me, so I'm going to now live for him. So what does that mean to you? I know we lost this in the 60s and the 70s. When the Southern Baptist Convention didn't care if you understood what discipleship meant, and they didn't care if you understood what commitment meant. All they cared about was how many numbers we could produce and impress this nation. And we evangelized, and I hope those folks really got saved. But I want you to grab this, that I may know the power of his resurrection. Verse 10. Say that with me, that I may know the power of his resurrection. Say that again, that I may know the power of his resurrection. Begin praying that and get ready. Get ready. Because you know what the Lord's going to say to you? He's going to start showing you how you can know the power of his resurrection. And so he's going to say, you got to get rid of this and allow me to bring this in. You got to change this friend and move in this direction. You got to change some of these activities. You may even have, but whatever the change is, I want you to understand it's going to be for the better. Exponential. I can't save you from drowning. Patty tells me all the time, she said, you get so discouraged because you see your folks repeating the same rituals and the same patterns year after year after year. And I say, Patty, I think I'm not an effective teacher. And then she says, yeah, but wait, you got people that call you from Indiana and Michigan and they're getting it. They'll hear three messages and they'll get it. And I think one of the advantages, you folks that have moved down here didn't come out of the Bible Belt. And so they're coming out of the coldness and the ritualism of Catholicism. And they're hearing the truth of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're seeing it in the Bible and the Holy Spirit's reinforcing it. And yet we've grown up with it in the hypocrisy of our pragmatism and programs and glorifying the name on the church door. And so the Bible Belt missed. You say, man, you ought to run for office or something. Yeah. Patty tells me they'll shoot you. But I want to say that again, that I may know the power of his resurrection. You know, I hear Christians talk about the cross. We glory in the cross. We glory in the cross. But praise God, it did not stop at the cross. One more verse and I close. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, Tim, man, our focal verse is the last verse. We're leaving out all this. Here's Paul's prayer. And this is what I close with. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That your eye, the eyes of your understanding, would be enlightened. Isn't that wonderful? God opened my eyes. Did you ever hear a story about the Methodist preacher that went to visit this family? This little boy was in the front yard. This is not my notes. Didn't know I was going to say it, but I'm going to say it. There was five little puppies just been born, a litter of puppies. And the preacher walked by and he said, "What kind of puppies are those, young men?" He goes, "These are Methodist puppies." He said, "Wow." He said, "Man, I ain't touching that." So he went on in the house. 3 weeks later, he come back. Little boys out there playing with them puppies, man, they're jumping around, you know, they're a little bit older now. He said, "I'm going to ask that kid again." You know, because he could tell they were spaniels or some crossbreed. He goes, "Young man, what kind of puppies are those?" He goes, "Sir, these are Baptist puppies." He said, "Now wait a minute. 3 weeks ago I asked you, and you said they were Methodist puppies. And now today you said they're Baptist puppies." He said, "Well, since you came last time, their eyes have been opened." That was huge when I used to make the circuit in on them Southern Baptist churches. They loved it. Now that I'm non-grata denominational, it's hard to find a receptive audience. Ephesians 1, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now, this is a great prayer. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. I pray that all the time. Yes, yes, you know, Lord Jesus, open my eyes that I can see what you're trying to do, what I need to do. But notice what he says, open my eyes that I may see, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward me who believe, according to the working energy and operation of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Open your eyes that I can see that this great power needs to be working in my life. And then he defines it the way we started. The power, when you raised him from the dead, set him at victory on the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all there. I told you I was going to get there. All principality and power and might and dominion. All those evil principalities, power, might, and dominion that were marshaled against God. Every name that is named. Who you got to deal with? You know, say his name. I've had to deal with certain. I still pray for some of the folks, most of them. Every name that is a name, not only in this world, but also in that which is come. And he hath put all things under his feet. This authoritative power of the resurrection. He is the head over the church. That's you. You're in the church. Which is his body. That's you. And this resurrection power is the fullness of him that fills all in all. You need to be filled with the resurrection power. You possess it. It can be quenched. It can be one little pilot-like flame when it needs to be a big old campfire. And therein lies the problem. Ignore God next week, it's going to stay a little pilot-like. Don't have time to pray, stays a pilot-like. Don't have time to get serious with the Lord, stays a pilot-like. Keep moving forward on an Amtrak train at about 140 miles an hour with your plans, your life, your selfishness. it stays a pilot light. But break down before God. Throw yourself at His feet. I do that in front of a dogwood tree. Didn't even know it was a dogwood tree until I started fasting and praying in front of it in 2012. In the winter, and then in the spring it bloomed. And every time it blooms, Patty walked up to me in the kitchen. She said, "You remember in the Old Testament how God said, put these stones here as a memorial? And every time your children see them, say unto them, this is a memorial to a great thing God did." Amen. She said, "I know that's where you prayed for Daniel and me. And every time I see it bloom, I thank God for His deliverance and His strength and His power. Because when we go through these things, they kill a mom, they kill a dad. But every time that dogwood is beautiful today, and we remember. You remember how bad it was? No, we remember how good God was. And how good He is today. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly, and I'm going to ask you to spend a few moments pouring your heart out to Jesus. Asking for God's power to move and work in your life, knowing. I mean, just try to think about it a moment. All this power that came out of that grave, He didn't keep for Himself. He's given it to you. There is nothing under the sun, to quote Solomon, that is more powerful than the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you've not received that power, if you've never come to a place, I don't care if you've been baptized or whatever, or I used to go to church or blah, 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 blah. If you've never come to a place where you've broken before God and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and had a true born-again experience, either do it today or we need to start talking about it today. And experience the reality of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's go to Jesus.